Let's bow our heads tonight and let's share a word of prayer. Father, in the name of Jesus, I thank you for this precious opportunity that you have given to us to be able to come together again around your precious word. Lord, we're so privileged and we're so blessed. We feel the breath of the Holy Spirit within us. He's energizing, he's comforting, he's strengthening. And we're so thankful to you. Lord, I pray for everyone under the sound of my voice tonight, everyone that is joining us, and those that would listen to this teaching afterwards, I pray, God, that you give them understanding. I pray, God, that you open up their hearts to receive your word, the truth in your word. I yield to the Holy Spirit. Lord, loosen my tongue. Give me the pen of a ready writer. Give me clear, free-flowing utterance. Help me, God, to be able to explain your word clearly. In the name of Jesus, take us higher tonight in our studies, in our lesson. Bless your people. Bless your people. I thank you, Lord. I give you the glory. And I give you the praise. In Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Amen and amen. And thank you so much again. Let's go into the word of God. In John chapter 14 and verse 12, the Lord Jesus Christ said, "Verily, verily I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do shall he do also, and greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto my Father." I love that. "And whatsoever," he said in verse 13, "whatsoever you shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son." Verse 14, "If you shall ask anything in my name, I will do it." If you shall ask anything in my name, I will do it. We have already learned and talked about the power of attorney that is in the name of Jesus. It's one of the most powerful principles of New Covenant, New Testament prayer. It's one of the most awesome privileges that we have been given in the New Covenant that Old Testament saints never had. That we can pray in the name of Jesus. And every time we pray in the name of Jesus, every time we ask in the name of Jesus, it is as though the Lord Jesus Christ himself is the one asking it of the Father. Oh, that is so powerful. That is just so powerful. So we have learned a lot of that. And we have also learned in relation to asking and making requests of the Father, we know that asking, this concept of asking, is made up of three things. Making requests or articulating our requests to the Father, presenting it confidently, and having expectation of a favorable response. We know these are the three components of asking. However, we have also learned that even though many times asking is making requests of the Father, sometimes asking is actually making a demand of situations, demand of things within our spiritual jurisdiction, making a demand of the elements, making a demand of circumstances, and sometimes making a demand of spiritual forces, including the devil himself. And we've read scriptures that teach us all of this very clearly. We read in Acts chapter 3, where Peter and John were confronted by this lame man, beautiful gate. And they made a demand. They said, "In the name of Jesus, arise and walk." And they made a demand on his physical body and lifted him up. And his body, the lame man's body, responded. We also saw in Acts chapter 16, where this young woman who was demonic, controlled like a puppet on a string. You know, there are many people sometimes that are like that, unfortunately. And sometimes many people don't know it. Some do know it, but many times people don't even know that. But this particular young woman, the Bible says in Acts chapter 16, she had a spirit of divination. And she was beginning to create interruptions and distractions to the ministry of Paul and Silas. And Paul, one day when he couldn't take it anymore, made a demand that that demonic spirit stop, and it responded. So many times, asking is making requests of the Father, but sometimes asking is making a demand of things, of circumstances, situations, elements, and certainly spiritual forces. Always remember that. Always remember to take the rightful place that you need to take in the place of prayer and make the demands that are required. When it's time to make requests, articulate your request to the Father, do it. But when it's time to actually address circumstances and situations, don't say, "Lord, I'm waiting on you." No, the Lord is waiting on you to take care of that, because he already gave you the authority that you need in the name of Jesus and the power of attorney that we need to take control over those circumstances and those situations. Now, then we started learning this extremely wonderful, great, exciting part of asking. We started talking about the factors that impact our asking. This time we're not talking about asking right, we're talking about having a right standing in asking. That our standing sometimes impacts our asking and how our asking can produce answers. And we read a couple of scriptures which I want us to go back and read tonight, just to open that. I'm not going to do too much of a review just because of time. I have quite a lot of ground to cover. I'm trusting the Holy Spirit to help me and help us do that. So I hope you have your notes so you can study some of this thing afterwards. Make notes and get your Bible and look at some of these scriptures and trust that the Lord will give you all the illumination that is available to you in Christ. In Isaiah chapter 65, and verse 24, the Bible says, "It shall come to pass that before they call or before they ask, I will answer. And while they are yet speaking, I will hear." And we established last week, this doesn't happen for every believer. Why is it that this applies to some believers, but it does not apply to many? And I don't know about you, but I want to be one of those people that the Lord is speaking about here, that before they ask, before they call, he answers. And while they are still speaking, he's already granted them the things, the petitions that they've presented to him. And what we want to do is walk our way there, because there's a reason why some people have that benefit and privilege and many don't. Let's go back and read. We read this too last week in 1 John chapter 3 from verse 18. 1 John chapter 3 and from verse 18 to 22. He said, "My little children, let us not love in word, neither in tongue, but in deed and in truth." Amen. Let love not just be, oh, I love you, but it's not really in deed and it's not in truth. It's hypocritical love. Let's not do that, the Bible says. That is a disqualifier for sure. If you have hypocritical, insincere love in your heart, and you are standing in the place of asking, looking to receive, you probably will not receive. Because that hypocritical love will be an impediment to our prayers rising up to the Lord. He said, "Let us not love in word, neither in tongue, but in deed and in truth." He says, "And hereby we know that we are of the truth and shall assure our hearts before him. For if our heart condemn us, God is greater than our heart, and he knows all things. Beloved, If our heart condemn us not, then have we confidence towards God. That's a very good place to be. If our heart condemn us not. Listen to verse 22. And whatsoever we ask, we receive of him, because we keep his commandments and do those things that are pleasing in his sight. Whatsoever we ask, we receive of him, because we keep his commandments and we do those things that are pleasing in his sight. We have identified three of the major things in our lives that can impact our asking. To make sure that this scripture is so in our lives, that whatsoever we ask, we receive of him, because we are obeying his commandments and we are doing those things that are pleasing in his sight. We picked the very first one last week, and I know that for a lot of us, that may not be something that you've really learned before. The very first thing we picked last week, first factor that impacts our asking and our standing, our right standing in asking, is our gifts, our sacrificial offerings, our vows. I know that may be something that's foreign. That may be novel to many people. Might even be irritating to some. Like, really? How can my asking have anything to do with offering? Yes, it does. And we did look at the Word of God. Remember, it's not what I want to believe. It's not what you want to believe. It's whatever the Word of God says. We are people of truth. The Bible says you will know the truth. The truth will make you free. No matter how long we've practiced something that is not truth, the day our eyes open to the truth and we begin to practice it, that's the day we are made free. So my prayer for you is that those of you who have been practicing this truth will continue to grow in it. And those of you that have struggled with it or that have not even known about this truth will be released supernaturally. You'll be made free, because there is great blessings in this for you. For you, I know that for sure. I know that without any iota of doubt. I know this is truth. It does work. And definitely I've seen it in my life. I've seen it in our lives. I've seen it in the lives of many of God's people. That our gifts, our sacrifices, our offerings, our vows impact our asking. They increase the likelihood of our receiving answers to prayers. Certainly, those who are, and we read these scriptures last week. Remember, we read about Hannah, who was praying and praying, and then she made a vow. Said, Lord, if you will give me a man-child, I will give him to you as a priest. And no razor will touch his head. I will give him to you. And that broke the barrier. We read in Psalm 20 last week. Look at that scripture again. Psalm 20. The Lord hear thee in the day of trouble. The name of the God of Jacob defend you. Send you help from the sanctuary and strengthen you out of Zion. Remember all your offerings. Listen, it's in the same breath. In verse 1, the Lord hear you in the day of trouble. In verse 3, may he remember all your offerings and accept your burnt sacrifice. And he goes on and on later on talking about some trust in horses, some trust in, but we will remember the name of the Lord our God. Because our offerings, our gifts, our vows demonstrate our trust in God. Somebody said, but I don't see how my giving, I don't see how my sacrificial offering can have anything to do with my prayer. A lot. And we'll see much more of that in this service tonight. I'm not going to give too much time to it just because I already laid the foundation for it last week. But I'm going to show you a bit further tonight. And I trust that the Holy Spirit and many of us, I know that many of us have already received this Spirit. And many of us are already growing more in it. We're already beginning to make that switch, because we know we want this. We don't want anything that hinders our clear communication with the Lord, our ability to receive answers. And so if our sacrifices, if our giving and our vows and our offerings impact our ability to receive answers, we definitely want to make, we want to pay attention to that. Amen. Amen. We saw Hezekiah last week in Isaiah chapter 38. Look at it in Isaiah chapter 38. Hezekiah, the prophet Isaiah came and told him, hey, your time is up. Get your house in order. Look at this, Isaiah chapter 38, from verse 1. In those days was Hezekiah sick unto death, and Isaiah the prophet, the son of Amos, came unto him and said unto him, thus saith the Lord, set your house in order, for you will surely die and not live. Then Hezekiah, in verse 2, turned his face toward the wall and prayed unto the Lord. Obviously, he was asking. He was asking for a change to that verdict. And listen to what he said. He articulated. He said, remember now, O Lord, I beseech you, how I have walked before you in truth with a perfect heart and have done that which is good in your sight. And Hezekiah wept. So, and if you go back and read what did Hezekiah do, you see there was a lot of sacrifices he made. You see there were times and aggressive times of making his offerings and his giving and his act of restoration of godly worship in the temple, a lot of which created, happened because of sacrifices he made. And he said to the Lord, Lord, remember how I've lived and remember what I've done. And Hezekiah wept sore. Then came the word of the Lord to Isaiah, saying, go and say to Hezekiah, thus say the Lord God, the God of David, your father, I have heard your prayer. I have seen your tears. Behold, I will add unto you 15. Isaiah the prophet had not even left the court. I better move on quickly here. Isaiah had not even left the court. God said, go back and tell him I'm going to add to your years. He said, Lord, remember what I've done. Remember how I've lived. Your gifts, your sacrifices, your vows, your pledges, your devotion to materially be a part of advancing the kingdom of God, aggressively and consistently doing that, puts you in a good place and increases the likelihood of your prayers being answered. This is the truth. Remember in Psalm 90, listen to what the Lord said. If this was not so, this scripture in Psalm 90 would not be given to us. Look at Psalm 91. That scripture that we all know very well. Psalm 91 and in verse 14, he said, because he has set his love upon me, therefore will I deliver him. I will set him on high because he has known my name. He shall call upon me, and I will answer him, and I will be with him in trouble, and I will deliver him, and I will honor him. With long life will I satisfy him and show him my salvation. Well, what is the root of all that? He said, because he has set his love upon me. Oh, certainly one of the greatest ways in which we set our love upon the Lord and demonstrate our love towards the Lord is in our sacrifices that we make for him. Is in our giving. You don't believe that? All right? Let's go back. Let's continue in the word of God. Go with me to 1 Kings. Let's read this all-important story because this is so powerful. There's just even no way. There are no better words to describe what we are learning tonight than to actually read it directly from the life of King Solomon. Let's read in 1 Kings chapter 3. 1 Kings chapter 3. Let's start reading from verse 3. And Solomon loved the Lord. See, remember what we read in Psalm 90? Because he has set his love upon me, I will honor him. I will deliver him. He will call upon me. I'll answer him. I'll deliver him in the day of trouble with long life. He has said, well, how do you set your love upon him? One of the major ways in which we set our love upon the Lord, demonstrate our love to Him, is in our sacrifices for Him. Just like anyone we love on earth, anyways, in our human relationships. When you say, oh, I love this person, I love that person, and you know, you love that, you love, you know, so for many people, it's just words. And we read in 1 John, chapter 3, verse 18, he said, don't love in just word. Yeah, I love you, I love you, I love you. But no, love indeed. And one of the ways we love indeed, we demonstrate our love for anyone, and certainly for the Lord, is in our giving to Him. Is in our sacrifices that we make for Him. Listen to this. 1 Kings chapter 3, verse 3. And Solomon loved the Lord, walking in the statutes of David his father, only sacrificed and burnt incense in high places. That was a negative in his life. But look at verse 4. And the king, Solomon, because he loved the Lord, went to Gibeon to sacrifice there. See, in one breath, he says Solomon loved the Lord. And then he went to Gibeon to sacrifice there. How did he demonstrate his love? Sacrifices. In the sacrifices he made towards the Lord. And he says in verse 4, the king went to Gibeon to sacrifice there, for that was the great high place. 1,000 burnt offerings did Solomon offer up on the altar. 1,000 burnt offerings. 1,000 to demonstrate his love. 1,000 burnt offerings did Solomon offer up. But you know what? The same night when he offered up these 1,000 burnt offerings, made these sacrifices as an expression and demonstration of his love to the Father, God showed up in his bedroom that same night. Let's read it in verse 5. In Gibeon, that same night, the Lord appeared to Solomon in a dream by night. And God said, ask what I shall give thee. Ask. While he was still in Gibeon. Either that same night or a night not long after he made his sacrifice. The Lord showed up and said, ask. And I said to you earlier, your offerings, your giving, your sacrifice impacts you're asking. Certainly, the Lord didn't come to Solomon to say this before the steps he took of making this elaborate sacrifice to the Lord. The Lord said, ask. And you know, this is a long one, but let's read it quickly. Solomon said, you have showed unto your servant David, my father, great mercy, according as he walked before you in truth and in righteousness and in uprightness of heart with thee. And you have kept for him this great kindness, that you have given him a son to sit on his throne as it is this day. Verse 7. And now, O Lord my God, you have made your servant king instead of David my father. And I am but a little child. I know not how to go out or come in. This is Solomon's conversation with the Lord after the Lord said to him, ask what I shall give you. And your servant is in the midst of your people, which you have chosen, a great people that cannot be numbered nor counted for multitude. This is what he's about to ask. He's about to articulate his request. Verse 9. Give therefore thy servant an understanding heart. That's what I want, Lord. I want an understanding heart to judge your people, that I may discern between good and bad. For who is able to judge this your people, this so great a people? Listen, when the Lord said, ask what you will, ask whatever you want, like we are told in the New Testament, the Lord just, whatsoever you ask in my name, the Lord said, ask whatever. He started to articulate. He didn't say, Lord, you know whatever a king needs, just give me anything you think anything you think is good for a king, that's good enough for me. That's, Lord, I think that's good. Whatever you decide is good for a king, that's not articulating, that's not asking. And unfortunately, that's how many believers pray. I just want what is good. What? Bread, fish, egg? What? What is good? Because what you call good may not necessarily be good for somebody. What do you call good? Amen. He articulated. I don't want to spend time on this. Hallelujah. And thank you, Holy Spirit. I know the Lord is giving us clarity and understanding here. Look at it, verse 10. And the speech pleased the Lord. The speech pleased the Lord that Solomon had asked this thing. Remember what we read in 1 John 3:22? When we obey his commandment and do those things that are pleasing in his sight, whatever we ask, we have answers. We receive answers, he said. The Lord was pleased. So this was pleasing in his sight. The Lord was pleased that Solomon asked this thing. And God said unto him, because you have asked this thing, and you have not asked for yourself long life, not that it would have been wrong to ask for long life, but that was just not the most important thing to Solomon at this point. Neither have you asked for riches for yourself, not that it would have been wrong to ask for riches, but at this point, this was not the most important thing to him. And you have not asked for the life of your enemies, not that it would have been wrong to do that, but at this point in time, that's not what he was asking for. But you have asked for yourself understanding to discern judgment. Behold, verse 12, he says, behold, I have done according to your word. I have given you what you asked for. I have done according to your word. I have given you a wise and an understanding heart, so that there will be none like you, none before you, neither after you shall any arise like unto you. In wisdom, and you know that's what the Lord did for that man. And if you will walk in my ways to keep my statutes and my commandments, as your father David did walk, then I will also lengthen your days, which you did not ask me for. You didn't ask me for that. Look at that. Then he says, let's back up it. I think I skipped verse 13. Because after he said there will be none like you in wisdom, then he says in verse 13, and I have also given you that which you did not ask for. See, Solomon's love, Solomon's sacrifice, his burnt offerings, that aggressive participation in covenant giving to the Lord put him in good stead. And the Lord said, I'll give you what you asked for, but I would also give you what you did not ask for. Verse 12, behold, I've done this according to your word. I've given you a wise heart. Verse 13, and I've also given you that which you did not ask for, both riches and honor, so that there shall not be any among the kings like unto you in all your days. Verse 14, and if you will walk in my ways to keep my statutes and my commandments, as your father David did walk, then I will lengthen your days. I will lengthen your days. He gave him even what he didn't ask for. And there are swats in the body of Christ, people who are saying, oh no, it doesn't matter, you know, anything. You know, I mean, God has nothing to do with your gift, your offerings, your sacrifice. It's not true. Don't lie. Don't lie. That is not true. Your giving matters to him. Your giving is an expression of your love to him. Don't tell me you love him, but you don't give to him, and you don't give sacrificially. I'm not just talking any kind of giving. I'm talking sacrificial giving. Like when it comes to weighing it on the scale, you make more sacrifices for him than you make for anything and anyone else on this earth. You make more sacrifices regarding the things that concern his heart than you make regarding the things that concern your heart. I mean, we know the things you love. We know the things you love. We know. We can tell. We can see it. We can see how you express. We can see how you expend. We can see how you invest when it comes to the things that you love. There's no controversy in that. We're not talking about the things you love. We're talking about the things he loves. We want to see you demonstrate your love for him by investing in what he loves, by expending in what he loves, by expressing in what he loves. Because when you do, it impacts your praying. It impacts your ability to ask and to receive. It calls God's attention to you. Like he said in Isaiah 65:24. Before they call me, I will answer. There are those people like that. There are those people like that. And Solomon didn't ask. He didn't call. He just went and sacrificed. And then in the night, The Lord came and said, ask me. He hadn't asked. That's Isaiah 65, 24 right there. Before they call me, before they ask, I will answer. Oh, hallelujah. Folks, saints, our asking is greatly impacted by our giving, our sacrifices for the Lord and for the kingdom of God. Ask. 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 You remember the story? Let's look at that one before I go to my next one here. I think I have a little bit of time to do that. Where am I at? I'm at 33 minutes. And I trust God I'm going to be able to at least do that second one tonight. And then we leave the third one for next week by God's grace. Hallelujah. Somebody say, I'm an aggressive sower of seed. Say, I love the Lord and I express it in my sacrificial giving. I don't just love the Lord in my mouth. I don't just love him with my words. I love him from my heart and I love him with everything that I have. Amen, amen, amen. I love him from my heart and I love him with everything that I have. Amen. And I make sacrifices to him. I offer sacrifices. I offer sacrificial offerings, gifts, vows, pledges. I'm aggressively committed to the kingdom of God. Folks, it works. It works. It may not work overnight. It may not immediately, because the Lord is a God of the heart. It's not just a God of formula. Some people, this is where they miss the best of God. Because they turn God into like a machine, a computer, and they say, well, you know, this is the form I heard. This is the formula that works. I'm going to try. No, no, no. That's not the way it works. He's a God of the heart. And he wants to see you demonstrate it consistently and faithfully over time. But I guarantee you, when you demonstrate your love to him consistently, faithfully, Isaiah 65, 24 will happen in your life. There'll be so many things that would come without you even asking. It will still be in your heart. You're still wondering, and the Lord will just produce it just like that. It will produce. I know that for a truth. I know that for a fact. And I believe, God, that you will experience. If you're already experiencing it, praise God. Praise God for you. Praise God for you. But if you have not experienced a lot, and I'm not talking a one-off thing, this happens once in, no, I'm talking regularly. Regularly, demonstrable results, demonstrable evidences of the ways God has moved in your life. You have not even asked and he's done it. You have not even asked and he's done. While you are still speaking, he's taking care of it. Because you love him and you express your love. Don't, please, don't you ever take for granted the place of your giving in the kingdom of God. The place of your covenant giving, your sacrificial offering. Thank God for the tithe and thank God for that blessing. I mean, many people don't even believe in that or practice that. Where you can finish that up. You know what that is when it comes to their praying. I mean, they can pray as fervently, they can ask, they can do all of this, but if you cannot even just do your basic minimum in the kingdom of God, I mean, what are you demonstrating to the Lord? You're demonstrating to the Lord. I better hurry up here. What are you demonstrating to the Lord? You're demonstrating to the Lord that what matters to him doesn't matter that much to you. Other things are more important. But when you do your part, and then sacrificially you give. Boy, oh boy. Prayers many times are just like that. Just like that. Express. Ooh, glory to God. Express. Now, you know the story of that Shunammite woman. I can't read it. I can't read it all because of time. But in Second Kings chapter 4, that Shunammite woman, you remember her story in verse 8, it fell on a day that Elisha passed to Shunem, there was a great woman, and she constrained him to eat bread. And so it was that as often as he passed by, he turned in there to eat. This woman saw him and said, this is a man of God. Called him, come and eat, and made a practice of taking care of that servant of God. And in verse 9, she said to her husband, behold, now I perceive that this is a holy man of God that passes by us continually. Let us make a little chamber, I pray you, on the wall, and let us set for him there a bed and a table and a stool and a candlestick, and it shall be when he comes to us that he shall turn. And she did all that. Let's abbreviate this. And then, of course, the prophet one day called his servant and said, what does this woman need? Without even, the woman didn't ask. She had that need, but she didn't ask. And the Lord gave it to her. But what I want you to read here, and then, of course, she got a son, which she didn't have. She didn't have a child. And the Lord blessed her with the fruit of the womb. And the child got sick. And the Lord healed him supernaturally. Hallelujah. You know, life is a continuum. Some people get a blessing and they run. They run off. Life is a continuum, you know. She got a blessing of the child, but she kept doing what she was doing consistently, faithfully. And the day the child got sick, she went right back and did what she always did. She summoned the servant of God. Hey, my son is sick. And she received that miracle. Life is a continuum. The sum total of our lives is not just one miracle. I know I said it some time ago in one of our messages. One miracle, one blessing will not be enough. One miracle will be good enough if that's all God ever did. But one miracle and one blessing will not be good enough to tell the story of God's unprecedented move in your life. No, it will not. Because God will just keep pouring out. Hallelujah. Let's keep going here. Now, you know, the day came, there was a famine in 2 Kings chapter 8. And then from verse 1, spake Elijah unto the woman whose son he had restored to life, saying, arise and go thou and thine household and sojourn wherever you can sojourn. For the Lord has called for a famine, and it shall also come upon the land for 7 years. So the servant of God sent a message to this woman because of the covenant investment that she had made into his life and ministry. Hey, there's a famine coming, and this is counsel from heaven. Take your family and move to another land. And she did. She moved to another land for 7 years. Verse 2. And the woman arose and did after the saying of the man of God. And she went with her household and sojourned in the land of the Philistines 7 years. Verse 3. And it came to pass at the 7 years' end that the woman returned out of the land. Out of the land of the Philistines. And she went forth to cry unto the king for her house and for her land. That's, she came back home. To our original home. And now she wants, because famine is over, but now she wants her land restored to her. She wants all her property, which she had to leave when she took her family out of the country. She wants everything restored. So she came to the king. And she went forth to cry unto the king for her house and for her land. Verse 4. And the king talked with Gehazi. Gehazi was the servant of the prophet Elijah. And as the king was speaking with Gehazi, the servant of the man of God, saying, tell me, I pray thee, of all the great things that Elijah has done. He wanted just like to hear all the stories of God's great work through that servant, Elijah. And so Gehazi, the servant, started to relay to the king some of the great things that the Lord did through his ministry, through his life, including this woman, the story of this woman who didn't have a child, who the prophet prophesied upon and received a child, the fruit of the womb, who the child got sick and died. And this prophet, again, ministered and restored this child back to life. So Gehazi, was relaying all of these stories to the king. And it came to pass in verse 5, as he was telling the king how he had restored a dead body to life, that behold, the woman whose son he had restored to life cried to the king for her house and for her land. Think about that divine timing. Think about that divine appointment. All because of this woman's seed. All because of this woman's sacrifice. All this because of this woman's burnt offering. All because of this woman's gifts. All because of this woman's vows. Think about the timing. That at the same time that the king asked this servant of the prophet, tell me more about this prophet. Tell me more the things that God did through his life. And as that servant is expressing and relaying, at that same time, this woman came in. They ushered this woman into the palace of the king. And when she entered into the palace of the king, she started crying, King, give me, not knowing what was going on in that palace, that Gehazi, the servant of the prophet, was actually talking about her and her situation to the king. Hallelujah. God is so amazing. God is so amazing. This is Isaiah 65, 24 at work. God had orchestrated, before this woman got there to her, he had already orchestrated it and he had already answered. The answer was already ready, provided, prepared. She just needed to walk into it because of her sacrifices. Nothing else, not because she was a great prayer warrior. It's awesome to be a great prayer warrior. Nothing wrong with that. Not because she was a preacher. It's awesome to be a preacher. Hallelujah. I love preaching. Praise God. Amen. Not because she was an usher. It's awesome to be an usher. Praise God. The blessings of God and an usher. Not because she was a Levite in the house of God. Awesome to be a Levite. Praise God. No. None of all of that impacted what was about to happen to her right here. It was her giving. That's all there is to it. It was her giving. Let's read. Our time is up here. I'm seeing how this is progressing. Thank you, Holy Spirit, for your help. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. God remembers givers, folks. God remembers. He said in Psalm 20, the Lord remember your offering. The Lord remember your offering. Because your offering rises up to him. This is our second service. I'm talking about what impact you're praying, you're asking. And I'm stuck here. I promise you twice now. I'm going to rush through it, but I'm stuck. I'm not doing deliberate. I'm not trying to drag this out. But you know what? I'm yielding to the Holy Spirit. That's what I do. And sometimes I know that's funny to people. It's not funny. I really am yielding to the Holy Spirit. It's not my agenda. It's his agenda. It's whatever he wants us to say. It's not my program. It's not my time. The time is his. And the Lord is having us hear this. Child of God, I know when people want to talk about prayer, they want to talk about prayer. They want something deep and but this is deep right here. Many people don't realize one of the biggest reasons why they don't have that free flow. It happens eventually, but it just takes so long. It's because of this area. Let's get back to the word. And while the woman whose son he had restored to life cried to the king for her house and for her land, and Gehazi said, my lord, O king, this is the woman. Hallelujah. This is the woman, and this is her son. So she was there with her son, the boy he raised to life, who Elisha restored to life. And when the king asked the woman, she told him. So the king appointed unto her a certain officer, saying, restore all that was hers. Restore all. All she asked for was her house and her land. She asked for her house and her land, that's all. But when the king gave the commandment, the instruction, he said, restore all, including the pond, including the lake, including the furniture, including the cattle, plus the guest house, plus the accounts, the dividends of some of her investments, everything lost during the famine, restore. Listen to this now. Appointed unto his, say, restore all that was her and all the fruit of the field since the day that she left the land, even until now. They back paid. Look at this, folks. They back paid this woman. She did not ask for it. She did not ask for it. But do you know, there are some people who are asking just for a little, just for a little. They will not get it. They will not get it. Not because they did something wrong, not because they, you know, but they are not practicing this principle. Hallelujah. Oh, Father, thank you so much. Woo, hallelujah. Thank you so much. How much more can we take in this service? Lord, thank you. Oh, thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Your sacrifices, impact, your asking and your ability to receive from heaven, your sacrifices. The Lord, remember sacrifices you made. Times when you put aside what was important to you to do what was important to Him, He remembers. Everything that cost you financially, materially, time, energy, don't leave out any of them. Don't say, yeah, it cost me my energy, but not too much fine. No, everything. Don't leave out anything. He sees your offering. He sees your, is look, that offering speaking in heaven. Shut up, Baba Basa. Speaking. Abel's offering continued to speak long after Abel was gone. Abel's offering continued to speak. Continue to speak. Back pay, offering for years and years, even when you didn't have anything. But how you make sacrifice. There are some people, when it comes to this, and they've been in the church for so long, they've been in the kingdom of God for so long, the devil has deafened them. They can't hear it. They have been in the church in the kingdom of God for so long, they have become deaf in this area. Because in their mind, I've heard it all. And what he has done here is he has unplugged the stream, the live stream of God's blessings, the channel of God's blessings in their life, because he has deadened their hearing to this. No matter how much they hear it, they just can't hear it because they have blocked their... It's not the devil. The devil lured them, but then they took the block. They plugged their ears because the devil couldn't put plugs there. Many people, years and years in the kingdom of God, many, many people. I know it. I've seen it. Years, decades in the body of Christ, but they block their ears to this thing. So I've heard it, and in their mind, the devil helped them concoct all sorts of reasons why they shouldn't pay attention. You are blocking the blessings of God from heaven over your life. You need to change that completely. Change it. It's in your hands. It's in your hands. It's not in anybody's hands. It's in your hands tonight. This was not my plan. I had wanted to go to my next point. I'm obviously not going to make it tonight. Look at the time. So I might as well not even try. You know, we still have about 8 minutes to go, but I'm not even going to try. Because it's not about checking the box that I got there. No. It's so that there's change. There has to be change in your life. If believers across the body of Christ will take this aspect of their relationship in the kingdom of God and aggressively address it, my friends, we will not be able to contain all the blessings that heaven will release upon us. We will not be able to hold it all. So many people, their ears, they block their own ears. I just won't pay attention to it. And many of them have been in the body of Christ for years and years. Years and years. They just tune it out. But they pray. Ah, they're prayer warriors. Ooh, prayer warriors. But they tune this out. Because this money offering, just tune it out. Don't tune it out. Don't let the devil tune out the blessing of heaven over your life and your family. Don't let it. You think this woman tuned it out? You think this woman tuned it out? Oh, I pray for you tonight in the name of Jesus. A miracle flow, supernatural flow like you have never experienced before. That truly Isaiah 65:24 will become a constant, a mainstay in your life, a mainstay in your experience. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. That this area will become one that you conquer finally, will become one that you master finally. This area. You've gone around that thing over and over, and sometimes you quit, sometimes you tried, you give up, you try, you fall. You've got to conquer it. You've got to conquer it. Give yourself access, permanent access. Don't be shortchanging yourself. Talking about God. God understands. He doesn't. He does not understand. Why? You won't conquer this. Excuse after excuse after excuse. He doesn't understand it. But tonight, you are free in the name of Jesus. Tonight you are free. Tonight you are made free. You've heard the truth. You've received the truth. And you are made free in the name of Jesus. Tonight you join the party of Isaiah 65:24. You become a part of that group that before you call, the Lord will answer. While you are still speaking, He will make good the petitions that are in your heart. In the name of Jesus, heavens will be opened over your life. That before you ask for it, like this woman, this Shunammite woman, back pay. You ask for little, He give you so much more, so much more. Not just in one area, not just in one dimension. Every area. And life is a continuum. You get this, but you don't quit. You don't stop doing what you did to get here. You keep on going. You keep on doing. You keep so that the miracles just keep multiplying. Some people will change their lives because, the miracles just keep multiplying. Oh, Father, we thank you so much. We give you glory and praise tonight. Thank you for your holy word. We receive your truth. We receive liberation in the spirit. We receive everything that you have for us. God, for my brothers and sisters. Lord, so many people struggling. So many people, wherever they are, some in developing countries, some in developed countries, it doesn't matter where they are. God, that you make them aggressive givers, make them aggressive sacrificial offering people, people who give, people who support, people who pledge, people who vow, people who pay their dues in the name of the Lord Jesus. Give them that grace, this grace that was upon King Solomon. This grace that was upon this Shunammite woman. This grace that was upon Mary who broke the alabaster box and poured it on. Lord, this grace that was upon the Philippian church. Let this grace be upon your people. In the name of Jesus, we give you the glory. We give you the praise. You alone deserve it. Receive it, O God. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen and amen.